The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Have you ever played Balderdash? Whoa, were you guys raised in caves or something? All right, you must go out and buy this game. This is the most fun game. Now, I will tell you, the more intelligent a group of people you play it with, the better it'll be. Okay, if you played it with a bunch of people who barely know how to read, this will not be a fun game. All right, because here's what Balderdash is. You get a card and it has like five words on it. And then on the other side of the card, it has five definitions. So what will happen is, and I'll give you a list of words in a second. It'll give you the list of words and then the definitions. And you have to decide if you know what it means or if you make up something plausible enough for everybody else to think you know what it means. So it's a lot of bluffing. And we don't call it lying in church. We call it... Well, it's lying, but anyway, it's part of the game. And so let me give you an idea of some of the words that we'll have here, and we'll let you figure out if you know. Okay, so these are five words actual off of an actual Balderdash card. Okay, how many think you know what peerl means? Peerl. Nobody? Well, of course it's a light drizzling rain. How can you not know that? By the way, nobody has ever heard of these words. Ever. They're in the dictionary somewhere under words that nobody uses anymore. Xanthic. Now imagine, now in your head right now, think of how would I explain Xanthic? I would say it has something to do with an era of history. The Xanthic era of history. No, it means yellow in color. Or Haffle. Haffle? That's what you get when you eat only part of a cheeseburger? You get the Haffle? No, it means to stutter. Ochive. Ochive. That sounds like, I speak Ochive. What's going on, brother? No, it's a cutting knife. Who has ever gone to their kitchen and pulled out an Ochive? That's probably not how you say it. Natterjack? Natterjack? That sounds like a pancake of some kind. You okay there? Yeah, it hurts when you sit on those things. It's a what? Toad. It is. It's a European toad. Who knew that? Oh, you cheater dogs. All right, let's try the next one, Randy. Cheer. See, and that's the thing. You have to take everybody's cell phones away. When we first played it, you didn't have cell phones. I love this one, sprints. You know what sprints are? I think I did this to my knee once. I sprained it. You know, this, I love this one. This is what otter poop is called. Now, first of all, it's weird that otter poop has its own word. Why can't they just call it otter poo? Why does it have to have its own word? What guy was saying, you know, we need another word because this otter has done his business. We need a sprint. Yeah, let's call it sprint. I love this one, mahoo-hoo. Everybody's mind starts spinning, mahoo-hoo. It's a rhinoceros. Again, somebody with a cell phone. You just knew that? How did you know that? A mahoo-hoo. Get on with yourself, Dan Chirez. Nosicanology. Now, you know by the suffix ology, it's a study of something. I would say it's the study of the aerodynamics of the nose cone of a rocket. How many of you would buy that definition? It's the study of the nose cone of a rocket. That's just because you know I'm not telling the truth. It's the study of hospital management. How does that even make sense? Anyway. So you get the idea. It's a lot of fun. Okay, so the dictionary defines balderdash as senseless, stupid, or exaggerated talk or writing, nonsense. I don't want to focus in on the first part of that term there, senseless. A lot of times when we're in our home, when we're with our families, when we're with people we know, we use senseless words and we don't always watch how they're gonna come out. We don't always take care of how we're going to talk. So we're going to talk about some of the things today, some of the mistakes we make when we talk, but also maybe how to correct them, all right? The book of James says in James chapter 3, verse 8, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. I've seen people that have tamed bears, you know, and they use them in these movies and stuff, and they've tamed the bears. I always think if you have a bear for a pet, it's not a question of if he attacks you, it's a question of when. These people, you know, these rock stars get tigers and, you know, jaguars and stuff. Look, that's still going to kill you at some point, or it's going to kill something, you know, like your dog. But nobody can tame the tongue. We can tame tigers and put them in movies, but we can't tame the tongue. Anybody here got perfect control over your tongue? Never say anything wrong? Don't raise your hand, because we will call you out. Because none of us have. And yet, we use our tongue all the time. We talk to our friends. We talk to our families. We talk to the people around us. And it's in fact, look at James 1:26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Wow, that's some heavy terminology there. That if you think that you're religious and you don't keep a tight rein on your tongue, your religion is worthless. Man, that is something to think about. So let's talk about the tongue. Let's talk about that. First of all, the tongue can cause problems. Anybody here never get in trouble for anything they say? People who do sign language get in trouble for things they say. Now, we all know sign language and certain sign language. You know what I'm talking about. See, wrong words can destroy relationships. You know what causes most divorces? It's not infidelity. It's the cumulative effect of the words you speak. You start being unkind, and then it gets worse, and then it gets worse, and then it gets worse. I have heard husbands and wives talk to each other in ways where Linda and I will get back in the car. We'll be at a party or something, and some, you know, a husband will talk to a wife way, or a wife will talk to a husband some way, and we'll get in the car and we'll look at each other and say, please don't ever do that to me, because it would get ugly. Please don't ever, because first of all, I love my wife too much to talk to her that way. She is a gift that God has given me. And trust me, I'm not going to find anybody better. I'm way outclassed by my wife. She's, okay, I outkicked the coverage on that one. I was blessed by God. I don't know what she did to make God mad, to make her marry me, but whatever it is, thank you, Lord. I got blessed, you got punished. I don't know how that works, but anyway. Maybe it's the flip side. Maybe it's not that you're abusive with your tongue. Maybe it's that you don't say anything. The silent treatment is worse sometimes than saying abusive things. Guys, if you ever ask your wife, honey, what's wrong? And she says, nothing. That is your warning sign right there. Don't buy that. Okay? And ladies, if your husband doesn't say anything, that really doesn't mean anything, because we don't really talk a lot usually. Unless you want to talk to us about football or baseball, and then we could talk your leg off. So by all means, talk to your husband. You know, ladies, you know, fight back. If you, you know, learn football. I keep telling my wife, if you, honey, if you would just learn football, we, she has no desire. After a while, though, the lack of words or the harsh words take their toll on relationships. And let me tell you something, words can never be brought back. You ever say something and then think, oh, that's going to cost me. Oh, that one hurts. And you can't bring them back. When we were a kid, were you ever told, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me? You know what? That's so not true. Sticks and stones can break bones, but bones heal. The words you say to other people can cause lifetime scars. And it can be something innocuous. Look, when I was in third grade, my teacher held up one of my cursive papers and said, Jerry Godsey has the worst cursive writing I've ever seen. Consequently, I block printed from third grade on. The only time I handwrite is to sign my name, and I'm not very good at that. You can't read it. It's just a scrawl. She said that in open classroom. I had a geometry teacher in high school that would hold up papers and say, the people who failed this week's test are Jerry Godsey. And I was always at the top of the list because geometry was not my friend. Okay. Geometry is when they start adding in X's and Y's. Numbers and letters don't go together. You know, arithmetic was perfect, and then the devil said, let's put in letters. My problem was I never cared what X equaled. I just, stupid. Put a number there, figure it out. This whole solve for Y? No, why? Why solve for Y? See, sticks and stones, broken bones only hurt for a while, but words can hurt for a lifetime. And it's true. Wrong words can make a bad situation worse. I'm going to try that again. Now I'm laughing, I can't. Wrong words can make a bad situation worse. Here's a little rule of thumb from your Uncle Jer. I'll try and help you here. When you say something that's really stupid, not that any of you ever do, I'm talking about for me personally, because none of you ever do that. Liars. Okay. If you ever say something, don't try to fix it. Just say, I'm sorry. Because the worse you try, the worse it gets. Here's a good rule of thumb from Uncle Jer. If you find yourself in a hole, quit digging. Honey, I didn't mean that you were fat. I just meant that, well, your hips don't look... No, wait. What I meant was... You know, and the dog's in the background. Dude, just shut up. Just stop. It's going to be uncomfortable here for me, and it's feeding time. Come on, man, stop. I mean, we all have it. You start dealing with somebody, and then you say something, and you realize it's the wrong thing, so you try and fix it, but that's the wrong thing, too, and that's the wrong thing, too, and it just goes on and on and on, and eventually, like, oh, man. You know what? At some point, either give up digging or just keep going because eventually you get to China. I'm going to come out the other end of this. No, you won't. No, you won't. I see this a lot in couples when they fight, where one will say something negative and the other person will have to top that negative. And they'll just keep going and going and going. And it starts off small and just escalates. Husbands, wives, let me give you honest to goodness. If you're arguing with your spouse, you're not just, you know, we used to tell our kids, we're not arguing, we're discussing. Well, you're discussing pretty loud. Husbands and wives, if you're arguing with your spouse, first of all, stay on track. If you're arguing about burnt toast, argue about burnt toast. Don't bring up your mother-in-law and all these other things. What, your mother, did your mother teach you how to burn toast? No, don't go there. That's... My mother never burned the toast. Yeah, not good. Not good at all. We do this, will you never If you say always and never, you're always lying and you never tell the truth. Because nobody ever always and never. You never take me anywhere. Took you to Pizza Hut last week. Took you to McDonald's. I supersized it for you. Don't say I never take you anywhere. I'm going to go someplace I can dress up. Dress up, we'll go to McDonald's. You know what? Dress up, we'll go highbrow. We'll go to Sonic. Make sure the discussion is about the problem, not how big it is. I mean, just we get so spun out of control. And here's the way I put it. It said, whenever you continue to speak negative words into a negative situation, you tend to fan the flame of negativity until it gets out of control. Now, husbands and wives often, and we find this with kids too, sometimes they fight differently. They argue differently. I know husbands and wives where the husband was really, really needed to talk about it now, and the wife needed to kind of withdraw and get her head together. You know what? You have to be sensitive to that. And if you say, no, we got to talk about it now, nothing good's going to come after that moment. You love each other. That should be the number one thing in your mind. Look, I'm upset at something you've done, but I love you more than life itself. And because of that, I'm going to control myself and not make a bad situation worse. Now, the flip side of the tongue is that the tongue can do good. If you're willing to take control of your words and to let God start working in your life, some good things will happen. Now, you're not going to do this on your own. You ever wake up one day and say, all right, today is the day. I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to name my car Jim. That way, I guess I went to the gym this morning. I did. I got in the gym and I drove to work. I drove to Johnny's and got a burrito. Look, I've said it before. I came into this world fat, bald, and screaming. That's how I'm leaving. If you're willing to take control of your words, but you've got to do it through God's help, don't any of you think that you're smart enough to do this on your own or that you're good enough to do this on your own, because we're not. I'll put myself in that. We are not. We can't control the tongue. What did James 3 say? It said, no man can tame the tongue. So the only way to do this is with God's help. Does that make sense? Here we go. First thing that happens is you become a better person. You ever hear somebody talk and think, I don't think I want to be friends with him. The way they talk, the things they say. We need to teach this to our children. Listen to the words that come out of your friends' mouths. Listen to the way they talk and ask yourself if you really want to be a friend with that person. Norman Vincent Peale said, change your thoughts and you'll change your world. And I think there's another way of putting it. Change your words and you change yourself. Think about it. If all you ever talk about is negative stuff, you ever know somebody that's like Eeyore? Remember Winnie the Pooh and Eeyore? Everybody loves Eeyore, but nobody wants to be around him. Hey, Eeyore, isn't it a beautiful day? Yeah, it's probably going to rain. Hey, Eeyore, I got honey. Yeah, probably found bees too. You ever know somebody that could just find, oh, there's an Eeyore right there. Know somebody could find the negative of everything? They're a drain. You listen to them, you're like, I'm tired just listening to you. Please, feel free to go somewhere else. Please, feel free to go talk to someone else. James 3:2 says, we all make many mistakes, but those who control their tongues can also control themselves in every other way. Change your words, you'll change yourself. Change the way you talk about things. If you have a tendency to always be negative, try one of two things, either not talking about it or trying to be positive about it. You know, you hit your thumb with a hammer. Don't say curse words. Say, oh, look, My hammer is a beautiful, my thumb is a beautiful shade of blue. Okay, now that may be a little far. Okay, that might be a little over the edge there. But really think about it. We can find positive things. It's just in how we look at things. And we're so good at finding the negative. If I give you two sheets of paper, and I said, okay, on one sheet, I want you to write everything good about yourself. And the other sheet, I want you to write everything bad about yourself, you would ask for more paper, usually to write the bad things. Stand in front of a mirror, look at it, look at yourself in the mirror. How do you feel? I said a couple of weeks ago, and I meant it, you're beautiful, each and every one of you. You're God's creation. You're God's most treasured possession. If that doesn't make you feel good and look at the positive side of life, nothing will. Maybe the world, by the world standard of beauty, and I got to be honest with you, I look at some of the world standard of beauty and I think, ew. It's not what I'm interested in. But you need to know that. You need to know that you, right now, you're beautiful. And you're God's creation. Second thing that happens is you'll build others up. See, it's kind of a ripple effect. The better you feel about yourself, the better you feel about other people. The more you talk positive, the more people will hear the positive that comes from you. This is good. This is a great way to live. Ephesians 4:29 says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. You're so stupid. Why do you act like that? What's wrong with you? I've seen the effect it has on husbands and wives. I've seen the effect it has on children. Guys, we're better than that. As Christians, as followers of Christ, we should be positive. As followers of Christ, we should build each other up. When we pass by somebody in the hallway at work, they should feel better having spoken to us. They should see Christ shining through us as we contact them. You know, they say the three most important rules for fishing. Number one, don't let the fish see you. Number two, don't let the fish see you. And number three, I think you know, don't let the fish see you. Let's fix that now. The three most important rules for being a Christian, when you deal with people who aren't Christians, don't let them see you, let them see Jesus. On and on and on. Every single thing you, every single person you meet through the day should walk away thinking, they know who God is. And they can't do that if you're being negative. They can't do that if you're constantly talking about other people, if you're constantly tearing people down. Your words have the power to tear people down or the power to build people up. Your words have the power to make people want to quit or to encourage them to try one more time. It depends on how you use them. When we read the Old Testament, we think of the gift of prophecy because the prophets always seem to be negative. They're always coming to talk about God's doom and gloom. Some people think that preaching is negative, that if I'm somehow not coming at you and telling y'all, you're going to hell. You know, and I now, you have to understand why I'm laughing, because this morning Jill said, before I retire, I have to do a whole message that style. And the Lord said, I wouldn't have a throat left. A lot of people think that sermons aren't good unless they're really judgmental. Unless I dangle you like a hot dog over the fires of hell, it's somehow not a good message. And I'm sorry. I pray that the words that God gives me, I pray that they convict you. But I'll never forget what my grandpa told me. He said, never, when you're preaching a message, and my grandpa's one of my idols. Amazing, amazing preacher. Best preacher I ever heard. I don't hold a candle to him. And I'll never forget my grandpa saying, Jerry, in your message, don't take people down unless you're going to bring them back up. Don't tell them the negative unless you can tell them the positive to outweigh it. And that's my goal. My goal, yeah, hopefully the words come and strike a part in your heart and say, yeah, I got to fix this. But hopefully I also give you the tools to fix it. That's my goal. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. When you walk out of Remnant, whether it's me or Jeremiah speaking, you should feel encouraged, strengthened, and comforted. That's our job. Every sermon, every Sunday school class, every Bible study, every encounter you have with people should give them encouragement, comfort, and strength. Also, you give glory to God. Psalm 63:3, David says, my lips will glorify you. I like that. I want you to think back over the conversations you had this week. And ask yourself if your lips glorified God. See, we're called to glorify God. I hate it when I hear Christians say, man, I was lucky. Really? You're going to disregard God's blessings in your life and call them luck? No. No, I was blessed by an almighty God. I was gifted by an almighty God. There's no luck involved. I've seen my luck. I don't have luck. Just like couples need to remind one another of their love, just like friends need to express appreciation to one another, God wants to hear from his people words of praise and thanksgiving and expressions of love. When is the last time you prayed and didn't God ask God for anything? You just prayed and said, hey, God, I just want to tell you thanks. I'm so thankful for what you've done. I know there's other stuff going on, and I'll get to that another time, but right now, God, I just want to tell you thanks. That's why I love listening to some of the worship songs we play here at Remnant and some of the ones. I love singing those along because I love telling God that I love him and not asking for anything. Just need that time, me and him. Okay, so how do you put it into practice? Let's talk about some nuts and bolts. First of all, you want to get control of your tongue? Don't say everything you know. Okay, you don't have to say everything. I read a story about a bunch of Christians who were having dinner and they started talking about Christian music. One lady named an artist and said, he's my absolute favorite. I'm so blessed when I listen to his music. And another person, and there's one of these in every crowd, said, oh yeah, well, a person in my church was in a 12-step program for overeaters and that singer was also in the group. Did you know that he binges and purges? Okay. Now, you didn't have to say that. Okay, first of all, they were eating dinner. Nobody wants to hear about binging and purging while they're eating dinner. I have found out, though, that I'm probably bulimic. You know, where you eat and then... And here's the thing. I have the binging down. I just can't purge. I had a friend tell me he was going to give me a shirt that said, praise the Lord, I overcame anorexia. And I said, you know, that's not funny. That's not right. You know, there's a reason why those groups have the word anonymous in them. You shouldn't be talking about anything that you hear in those groups. Third of all, if that singer for some reason at some point wants to share that part of his life, he'll do that on his time. But finally, why do you need to tear somebody down? Why do you need to share something like that? There are people that just can't wait to spill the beans on other people. Just because you know something about someone doesn't mean you have to spill it. In Proverbs, Solomon said, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint. You don't have to say everything you know. Before you speak, consider saying nothing at all. Because you don't have to say everything you know. Number two, boy, this is so important. Don't say everything you think. There are things that you think that probably ought to stay hidden. Just leave those alone. Some people think they know a little bit more about every single subject than other people. And they're willing to share that knowledge with you. Yeah, you know, I saw a Camaro the other day. Well, you know, funny thing about the 68 Camaro. And your eyes start rolling back in the back of your head. Somebody shoot me now. You ever seen the character on Cheers named Cliff Clavin? He was the mailman. Cliff Clavin knew everything about everything. And if he didn't know it, he was making it up. He would talk about anything. And then he was the butt of jokes a lot. Because he would just open his mouth. And, well, I've got a clip here that I think might show it.
Hey, you got a big mouth, Clavin.
Hey, happens to be right, you know. Yeah, it's a genetic quirk in the Clavin family that we all have two extra teeth. You see, that's the only way that we can prove that we are the rightful heirs to the Russian throne.
Hello in there, Cliff. Tell me, what color is the sky in your world?
Personally, I like Cliff. Cliff always had an answer for everything. But here's the problem. There's somebody like Cliff in every single group. Think about your friends. And if you can't find a Cliff Clavin in your group, you might be the one. You don't have to say everything you think. Sometimes just leave it alone. Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent. Now, Mark Twain said it a little differently. I love Mark Twain. It's better to keep your mouth shut and appear stupid than open it and remove all doubt. Better to keep your mouth shut and have people think, well, he's not very smart, than open your mouth and have them think, oh, I was right. It's proven now. How many times have you seen somebody try to jump into a conversation that they know nothing about, but they try and talk about it anyway because they don't want to be left out? And then about two words into the conversation, you're like, oh, this is not going to end well for you, Haas. This is just not going to go well. You know what? Sometimes it's okay just to stand off to the side and nod. Yeah, yeah. Everybody practice that with me right now. Would you just kind of like, yes. Interesting. See, you're smarter already. You don't have to say everything you think. Before you speak, keep this principle in mind. Silence looks like knowledge. Number three, don't repeat everything you hear. See, the problem with repeating gossip is that there's a better than even chance that what you heard isn't even completely true. Gossip tends to get better as it goes along. Oh, I saw Jerry got a new dog. I did. His name is Ghost. He's really cool. Okay. And he likes licking the air conditioning as it comes out of the vent in my motorhome. I don't understand that part of it, but anyway. Okay, so I saw Jerry got a new dog. Then it goes to the next person. Yeah, Jerry got a new dog because he killed the other one. Yeah, Jerry got a new dog. Yeah, he killed the other one. He's a long line of dog killers. He's killed many dogs. He hunts them in his car because, you know, you can't leave the story alone. It's got to get better as it goes along. And by the time it gets to you, all of a sudden I'm like this dog serial killer and all I got was a new dog. But you speak it because you believe the person that told it to you. I made a joke one time that when I was pastoring my first church, my wife was the church secretary. And I made a joke one time that I was having an affair with the church secretary. Which I was. We were married. It got around 5 years later. from another pastor said, Jerry, did you remarry? No, same wife I originally had. He said, yeah, because I heard you left your wife and went off with the church secretary and got married. Okay, and I thought right away, that's what I get for being a jokester. And there are an awful lot of stupid people on the planet. Yeah, 5 years later, this guy comes up to me, and he's seriously concerned about me. Did you remarry? Not that I'm aware of. You ever heard somebody say, I'm going to go visit so-and-so so I can catch up on the latest gossip? Okay, that makes you, in the law, we call that an accomplice. We call you part of the crime. All you're doing is giving that person, now that person feels important because they can share inside knowledge with you. You know what? Don't encourage them. Look, I got family members that when they start talking about other family members, I end the conversation. All right, got to go. Love you. Don't you want to hear? No. Don't care. Don't want to hear your thoughts about this person or that person or how this, I don't care. Because I don't know, it didn't affect me personally right then. It didn't happen to me. I don't know if what you're saying is true. And I love you, but I'm not going to put myself part of that. Because I don't need to have that in my head and have to filter through that when I see that other person. Proverbs 16:28. This is going to shock you. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. A perverse man stirs up dissension. Do you ever stop to think that when you're causing these rifts, when you're saying these things, that God kind of looks at you like a pervert? You're a perverse man. Why? Because all you're doing is stirring up dissension. Now, I heard a story from my grandpa, and he swears it down, it's true. I don't know, but knowing my grandpa, it might have been. He was wearing a really loud, bright floral tie one day. And this woman who was a gossip in the church walked up and said, you know, Pastor Brewer, I'd like to take a pair of scissors and cut about that much off that tie. And before Grandpa had a chance to think, which he was usually pretty good at, he said, yeah, well, I'd like to take that same pair of scissors and cut about that much off your tongue. Wow. And I looked at him and said, Grandpa, did you really say that? He said, yeah, I probably shouldn't have, though. You think, Pastor Brewer? Proverbs 17:9 says, he who covers an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. If you gossip, all you're doing is separating close friends. You don't have to say everything you hear. You don't have to repeat it. Repeating everything you hear destroys friendships. That's why you need to think before you speak. Consider whether you should say anything at all. You don't have to repeat everything you hear. Now, these three steps are a start in getting control of your tongue. But they're not the end. Because they continue to build. And you're constantly going to have to work at them. You're constantly going to have to get better at them. And you know what? That's good. The closer you get to God, the less time you have for talking about other people. Because your conversations start to deal with love. Your conversations start to deal with grace. Your conversations have to deal with blessings. And there's not much room for evil, ugly talk. And as Christians, that's the way it ought to be. God forbid that one of you is the person at your place of business or in your family members or in your neighborhood where they come to you for gossip. If that's you, shame on you. One more time, James 3:2. We all make many mistakes, but those who control their tongues can also control themselves in every other way. I got to be honest with you, this is one of those messages that is just kind of a lot of meat, and you're going to have to chew on it this week. This is one of those messages where you're not going to come up to me afterward and say, oh, you know, Pastor, I was so blessed today. No, you're going to walk out here and say, you know, I got some work to do. And that's good too. See, that's the strengthening part. You ever watch these guys I was watching the men's gymnastics last night, and these guys are ripped. The gymnastics dudes, they're ripped. But you know how the process of building that muscle? You build muscle, you lift weights, you tear the muscle in half. And it heals, and then you do it again, and then you do it again, and then you do it again. And as you rip the muscle, the fibers expand, you get stronger. As you grow in the Lord, sometimes, man, it's going to rip you in half. It's going to tear you up. You're going to think, oh, I'm so far away from where I want to be. Every time you say that sentence, stop and say, wait a second, though. Look how far I've come. Yeah, look how far I've come. So this message today, some of these are tough. Every time I preach one of these messages, I think, oh, this is the toughest one ever. I think this one might be. Because it wasn't a lot of whiz-bang stuff. It was a lot of, wow, I got some work I got to do. And that's okay. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. So let me ask you, where are you today? How's your tongue? How's your life? How's your walk with the people around you? Only you can answer that. But I want to encourage you, if you're going to open your mouth this week, make sure it's God's words. You're going to speak to people this week, make sure God's part of that conversation. And I don't mean walk around telling everybody, you know, hitting people with your family Bible or something. That's not what I'm talking about. Jerry, what are you here for lunch? Well, the Lord has blessed me with a tuna sandwich today. Hallelujah. That's not what I'm talking about. I see you're eating carrots. Did you know that the Lord made carrots for you? And he made them good for your eyesight too. God bless you. Hallelujah. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about making sure that every word that comes out of your mouth this week is godly. Every word that comes out of your mouth this week, you would be fine with saying it if Jesus himself was standing right next to you. Because he is. We lose sight of that fact sometimes. We forget that God sees everything, that God's with us everywhere we go. So when you're talking to somebody this week, are your words encouraging? Are they giving people comfort? Are they strengthening them? If they're not, shut up. Where else do you get to come to church and see a clip from Cheers and your pastor tells you to shut up? Only Remnant. This is the only church like this, Remnant. But you know what? Sometimes it's better to be quiet than to be something other than what God wants you to be.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You build a mighty fortress, 10,000 burdens high. Love is here to lift you up.